Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us this evening. I'm Julian Grace. Well, it is a scorcher out there. Temperatures soared into the mid-upper 90s. The heat index could get as high as 109 degrees. Ouch. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joins us now. And Kat, the heat advisory is in effect for a couple of more hours, and another one is in place tomorrow.
Yes, Julian, the heat is not letting up anytime soon. The heat advisory is for most of our viewing area. The four counties not included, Person, Granville, Vance, and Mecklenburg, everywhere else, including all of the Triangle and Fayetteville, under the heat advisory through 8 o'clock tonight. And again, these same counties will be under a heat advisory tomorrow. That's from noon to eight, and the heat index likely to be in that 105 to 109 range for several consecutive hours. So this is going to be dangerous heat with us to kick off the work week. Could feel like 106 in Durham, 107 in Raleigh and Rocky Mount, 109 for Fayetteville as well as Goldsboro. Still feeling like around 100 in Roxboro tomorrow. Our high temperatures today actually reach 100 in Rocky Mount, 96 in the Triangle, 98 in Fayetteville. These are the sites that have reported the high temperatures so far. And today is significant because today was the 43rd day this year that we have seen high temperatures in the 90s. 43 is the average for the entire year, and we still have a long ways to go, Julianne. Many more 90-degree days to come. Plus, I'm talking about two severe weather threats for the upcoming work week in just a few minutes.
So it sounds like we may break a record this year.
We could, but, you know, 91 is the record for 90-degree days, so I don't think we'll break that one in particular.
Good. All right, thanks, Kat. We'll see you later. Well, some will stay inside to avoid the heat. Others simply don't mind it. I know a few people like that. Or some just have to go to work in it. WRAL's Carly Haynes joins us live now from Raleigh with how emergency crews handled the extreme heat. Carly.
Well, Julian, first responders like Wake County EMS are working hard to protect people like you and me from heat emergencies, but also to protect their own crews who are working in the same conditions. Now, the district chief for Wake County EMS said they saw an uptick in calls over Friday and Saturday. Those include calls for heat emergencies and for underlying medical conditions that were made worse by the heat. To avoid more calls, the district chief recommends people drink a lot of water and try to get to air conditioning if at all possible. If you start sweating and feel fatigued, definitely get out of the heat. But if you start getting heat cramps and losing consciousness, that's an emergency.
That's a sign that this has maybe moved on from just an exhaustion to a heat illness. And at that point, we would definitely recommend calling 911. We'll come out, we'll check them out, we'll treat them if necessary and get them to the hospital if necessary.
Well, other first responders like Durham Fire Department are actually adding more staff on hot days like this one so that crews don't have to work as long in the heat. But both Durham and Wake County are urging people to keep up that hydration today. Julian.
You must stay hydrated. Carly reporting live for us in Raleigh tonight. Thank you. Two people are dead after a plane crash on Lake Hickory. That's about an hour north of Charlotte. This is video from the scene. The fire department there says the single engine plane came down just before noon. Highway Patrol says the plane had just taken off from Hickory Regional Airport. They say just after takeoff, the plane hit some power lines and crashed. The crash caused more than 18,000 outages. Duke Energy had the lights back on within 2 hours. Highway Patrol tells us two people were on board. The pilot and passenger both died at the scene. The FAA will investigate further. Fayetteville police are investigating after a girl was shot during a birthday party. It happened shortly after 1 a.m. at a building on Bragg Boulevard. Police say shots were fired outside the business and a bullet struck the girl. Responders took her to the hospital, but police say her injuries are not life-threatening. Police are trying to learn more about the circumstances that led up to the shooting. An overnight crash on I-95 in Johnston County injured 7 people. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker showing the scene near Four Oaks around 2:30 this morning. Troopers tell us a family of 6, including 4 children, were headed on vacation from Maryland before another vehicle hit their SUV. The other car overturned in the crash. Investigators say everyone is expected to be okay. That is remarkable after seeing that video right there. In recent months, a behind-the-scenes battle has emerged over gambling in our state. Gambling companies have stocked up on lobbyists. Dark money groups have sprung up in opposition to added casinos in the state. And cities, counties, and casino developers have tied up land anticipating lawmakers plan to add more betting locations. All that, and yet no casino proposal has been filed publicly, debated in a single committee, or even vetted by the Republican caucus in the House. WRAL's NC Capitol team dug into a possible proposal to add more casinos in the state. You can read all about it, in-depth coverage at nccapitol.com. A man police say tried to rape and strangle a woman he kidnapped will have a court appearance tomorrow in Raleigh. 41-year-old Christopher Joyner, shown here, is in jail under a $750,000 bond. He faces multiple charges, including attempted rape, forcible rape, assault by strangulation, and first-degree kidnapping. Police say Joyner kidnapped the woman near Crabtree Valley Mall on Wednesday. Officers found the woman at a home on Turner Street around 3 o'clock that afternoon. She had run towards a construction site to look for help. Court documents indicate the woman had marks on her neck from the attacker's hands. Now, the victim did not know her attacker. Here's a question for you. How do you honor a fallen friend? For 120 amateur athletes in Raleigh today, that answer is simple. Dozens of push-ups, miles of running and biking, and add in a little jiu-jitsu for just a little fun. It's all a part of a weekend marking the death and carrying on the legacy of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd.
It's not easy.
I'm exhausted.
Lifting a weight, running in 100-degree heat, pinning an opponent. But it's especially not easy losing a friend.
If he met you and you weren't sure about Ned, he was going to win you over. It's only a matter of time.
Ned Byrd, Wake County deputy, shot in the line of duty.
Ned was, you know, the definition of a hero, laying down his life for his community.
1 year after Byrd's death, the hard work of moving on meets the hard work of CrossFit, jiu-jitsu, and mountain biking. A sufferfest designed by Byrd's friends to carry on his spirit.
Today is all about Ned.
Even the workouts themselves have meaning.
He was 48 when he died. That's why there's 48 push-ups in there. Some of the numbers, if you know Ned and know Ned well, it's representative. The four rounds is because he's born on the fourth.
Around 120 people are competing in Byrd's favorite sports in the second annual Ned Byrd Memorial Triathlon. The most are only doing one or two stages. Conrad Faust isn't most.
This year I'm going to do it because that's what Ned would do. So this year I trained, I did my best to get in as good a shape as I could so that way I could do the workout, do the open roll, and then go for a mountain bike ride. So that's what I'm going to do today.
He came up with the idea for the triathlon last year. This year, he's overwhelmed by the support for his fallen friend.
It gives me tickles.
Sunday's event was spread out from Iron District CrossFit to Gracie Raleigh and the Lake Raleigh mountain biking trails. A big footprint that organizers hope has a bigger impact.
Yeah, Ned's super special to us, but all the law enforcement and LEO community to go out there every day and put their life on the line every time they go to work and get out of their vehicle. You know, this is about thinking about them and what they're really risking for us.
In Raleigh, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
Ned Byrd was truly loved there. All right, we have some lane closures to tell you about this week. First, starting tonight, a section of I-40 will close nightly as progress continues to complete 540 project. All lanes of I-40 West will close at the NC-42 interchange, exit 312, from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. each night, ending Friday morning. The closures will allow crews to safely continue demolishing one of the old flyover bridges connecting I-40 and U.S. 70. Now, during these times, westbound I-40 drivers will be directed to take NC-42 East to U.S. 70 West to return to I-40 West. The DOT expects this to have a high impact on traffic, so be prepared for it. You have been warned. Also, drivers in Wake Forest need to be aware of some road work tomorrow that could cause some major delays. Crews will be back at work on NC-98 bypass near Legion Mill Road. That will cause lane reductions from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. tomorrow. Drivers should stay away from the area if they can to avoid backups. We have so much more to talk about. 93 people are confirmed dead in the Maui wildfires. Just ahead, why the number will likely rise in the days ahead, and what's next for the people who survived. Plus, security video captures the moment a home exploded in Pennsylvania. There it is right there. The latest as investigators look into what caused the blast. Look at this beautiful shot from Durham right now. It is sizzling out there, and I don't see one person in sight. I'm sure people are trying to cool off because it's so hot out there. All right, welcome back. This next video is catching attention across the country. Five people are dead, three are injured, and three homes are destroyed in a neighborhood outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. At least a dozen other homes were damaged by the debris. Ring doorbell video from a few doors down captured the moment of the explosion. Ah, that is so hard to see. Here's a bird's eye view of the damage. Now, investigators say the explosion happened in one home. Then the flames from the blast destroyed two others. 18 different fire departments responded to the scene. Investigators are still looking into what caused the explosion. The gas service provider in the area says gas systems were operating as designed at the time. Tonight, there are 93 confirmed deaths from that wildfire in Maui, and the search for the victims is still in the early stages. As Jake Karalexis reports, the death count is very likely to keep climbing in the coming days.
The number of fatalities continues to rise on Maui from what is already the deadliest wildfire in the U.S. in over a century. Search crews have only just begun the grim task of looking for more victims in the rubble.
The remains we're finding is through a fire that melted metal. We have to do rapid DNA to identify them.
Authorities say the flames spread so quickly, people living in the town of Lahaina had no time to react. Nearly every building in the town of 13,000 was destroyed. Those who rushed to escape describe an apocalyptic scene as people ran for their lives.
200 or 300 people were all jumping the seawall with their children. Cars are exploding.
I saw one Fred dead on the ground like a piece of charcoal, like Pompeii almost, just dead. I mean, there's nothing you could do. It was that fast.
A lot of questions have been raised about the state's alert system, including emergency sirens that did not go off. Hawaii's attorney general says she's launching a probe into the decision-making process as the fire spread. It's estimated as many as 4,500 people are now in need of shelter. State officials are working to house people in hotels and Airbnbs. Many of the people living here worked as employees at those same hotels and resorts. FEMA has pledged to do whatever is needed to bring resources here to the island to get people the help that they need. In Maui, Jake Karalexis, WRAL News.
Help is desperately needed there. Hawaii's governor says the damage is near $6 billion. This weekend, three law firms filed a class action lawsuit against Hawaii Electric. They claim the destruction could have been avoided if the utilities company had de-energized power lines before the windy weather. All right, let's bring in Kat right now. Kat, it is hot out there, but storms are on the horizon.
We could see some storms, and you know, it's like that during the summer. You're either dealing with the big heat or you're dealing with a strong storm threat, so you just can't win either way necessarily. Tomorrow and Tuesday both feature a level one threat for severe weather. Everybody in green has that chance of seeing a severe storm, a level two threat for Northampton County up into southeastern Virginia, but there won't be very many storms tomorrow. There's about a 30% chance that you would see one of those storms. The issue is, even though there aren't very many storms, any of the few that develop are likely to be pretty strong. It's going to be very hot and humid, so they're going to have a lot of energy to work with. Tuesday's a bit different. Tuesday, we've got a cold front pushing in from the west, and that should help to trigger more thunderstorms. So it's about doubled the storm chances on Tuesday, a 60% chance, still a level one risk. I just think that we're going to have a lot more storms out there. So stay tuned for updates as we get closer to Tuesday. It's this front off to our northwest that's going to slide in as we get into the early part of the week. It is going to be slow to do so, moving closer tomorrow, and that'll bring some storms to areas to our west. We'll watch to see if those are able to hold together. I left storm chances at 30% for now. There's a chance we may go 40% tomorrow, but that would be about as high as we go. The better chances would be closer to the mountains. And then as these storms try to push in here, it really wouldn't be until likely after the evening commute, and that would be when we start to lose some of the energy of the day. And that's the reason it's more likely that they would start to fall apart to some degree degree. We'll go with about a 30% chance of storms tomorrow. But Tuesday, as we watch the cold front get closer to us, it's likely to spark a lot more showers and storms. So by 3, 4, 5 o'clock, you can see those storms firing up, and they're likely to stick around through about 10 or 11 o'clock on Tuesday night. That also brings the chance for some localized flooding. And it's actually been a little while since I've had to show this map in particular on TV. Most of the time during the summer months, you get just one or two of those pop-up storms. But with this cold front likely to pass through the area, and with how much moisture there's going to be in the atmosphere, there is a more scattered risk for some of the flash flooding in our eastern counties. And from the Triangle West, it would be more isolated if we were to see any flash flooding. Still, be aware, it's not just a wind threat that we have on Tuesday. It is also a threat for some flooding out there. So we'll keep you up to date as we get closer. Outside today, things have been nice and quiet. We were able to lower storm chances. Most of the storms were confined to the coast earlier this afternoon, and even there, it was just one or two. Thanks to that cold front slowing down, that's what allowed us to bump down storm chances. But boy, it's hot at the DBAP, 95 degrees right now, 95 at this hour in Raleigh, and still 97 in Fayetteville. Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., it's already 90, and it's going to be feeling like 102 at that time. By 3 o'clock, 97 with a heat index of 107, and dinner time temperatures still in the 90s with a heat index around 100. Take care of yourself in the heat tomorrow. A heat advisory in effect from noon to 8 o'clock, and then the heat begins to back off a little bit on Tuesday. It's still going to be very hot and humid. Wednesday, a small chance of a lingering shower or storm in our eastern counties, but slightly drier air still likely to make it at least far enough east to make it to the Triangle. Julian?
You know, Kat, I'm still stuck on Monday. Monday at 11 a.m., will already be at 90 degrees.
Yes, it will. It's going to be one of those hot days. And I mean, Tuesday morning, the low is only 77. We could actually tie or break a record with the warmest low temperature.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Kat. Just a few races left in the NASCAR regular season. Can you believe that? How today's race shook up the standings. And keep telling yourself the preseason doesn't matter. Disappointing debut for Bryce Young. Why we're more concerned about their coach, though. Next.
You only get one chance at a first impression. Frank Reich and Bryce Young begin their Panthers tenure with a 27-0 loss. Not exactly what we expected after a hype train all camp. Yes, it's just the preseason, but right now, it's all we got.
So a lot of getting used to each other is going to happen here in the next few weeks.
First impression from the first pick.
Young, that pocket's collapsing and he's going down.
We know he can take a hit.
I waited till the second half. I said, well, that was a pretty good welcome to the NFL hit. How'd that one feel?
After all the hype we've heard in camp, 4 of 6 for 21 yards was underwhelming, but hardly a reason to declare Bryce Young a bust.
Whatever the expectations are, I can't, you know, I don't control that. And, you know, those are what they are for me. We went out and we didn't execute like we wanted to.
Young must have said accountability a dozen times in his postgame press conference.
We all take accountability for that. Again, the accountability that want to be better, we're all chasing.
If there's anyone I'm pointing the finger at, it's Frank Reich.
Now, we did nothing, you know, in our scheme, nothing. That's not an excuse. I expected us to do a lot.
Reich said keeping the game plan vanilla helped them evaluate one-on-ones. I'll spare you the tape. They were outmatched.
Rolls out wide open, and just like you said, an old Aaron Rodgers special.
You don't like getting shut out and getting beat 27-0. Preseason scores aren't the most meaningful thing.
Intercepted.
As smart and cerebral as Young is, he's not physically gifted enough to carry a team on his not-so-broad shoulders. He's going to need help.
As a coaching staff, we weren't trying to put the guys in the best position.
Reich's saving his aces for the regular season. He must really like his hand, because this was a flop. Now, if you love that take or hated that take, come watch Sports Extra for more. 30 minutes of North Carolina sports talk starts right after the 10 p.m. news on Fox 50. And from there, we're going to roll right into Panthers huddle at 11 on Fox 50. So plenty to talk about and break down. The Panthers visit the Giants on Friday. If any team knows about a new coach and quarterback, it's Duke. Mike Elko and Riley Leonard turned the Blue Devils around in their first season together. Now, they get all the credit, but there's plenty to go around. There aren't a lot of stars on this Duke team, but there are some great stories. Safety Jalen Stinson, he's 5'8", But don't let the size fool you. He can deliver a hit and is a touchdown waiting to happen on special teams. Then there's receiver Jordan Moore. He was a quarterback this time last year. He changed positions when Leonard was named starter and immediately became a go-to target for the team.
I think it's just a testament to our culture. We want to win more than we want the individual stats and awards. So moving to receiver, obviously, Coach said that would help us win, and that's all our whole team is worried about is winning.
I feel like we all have the underdog mentality. I feel like a lot of people, we play the scales where they have us, you know, losing. So I feel like we all just taking the underdog mentality and, like, keeping our head down and grinding.
Mike Elko made sure to point out to me that their culture is not short dudes who play good, but mentioned Stinson has bulked up from 165 to 180 pounds. All right, just three races left until the NASCAR playoffs. Indianapolis hosting the Brickyard 400. Pretty smooth race on the road course, but a little drama to start here. Sixth lap, Joey Logano spins out. Now, he's already got his playoff spot locked up. And you got to make your moves when you can out here. Ricky Stenhouse bumping Jensen Button. Stenhouse trying to lock up his spot on points. And Chase Elliott, he needs a win, chasing down Michael McDowell, who dominated, leading 54 laps, but he can't catch him. McDowell off the bubble, gets the win and into the playoffs, the second of his career. He knows how to pick him, Julian, win at Indianapolis and the Daytona 500.
He knows what he's doing. All right, thanks, Pat, and thanks for joining us tonight. NBC Nightly News is next. Our next newscast is tonight at 10 on Fox 50.